Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I am Dr. Vincent Medici. You will notice my voice is a little bit different today. I think I've done too much talking for the week. Too many people that needed help. Too many people who didn't know how to eat. And I never thought I'd be doing this show again on diet. I've done about 5 shows. I have a simple point. It can make it all so easy for everybody. But I'm doing the show again because I don't see enough people get the point. How many times have you switched your diet because somebody told you that this diet was better than that diet? Vegetarian, vegan, fruitarian, macrobiotic, ketogenic, the zone diet, the blood type diet, the Chinese diet, the Vedic diet, the glandular body type diet. We have as many diets as we have stars in the galaxy. And for a lot of people, this remains confusing. Well, I think I've got, looking at everything, doing everything, some common sense approaches that can help you. If you're confused, and you are confused, enough of you are confused, or I assure you I wouldn't be doing this show. So by popular demand, in the last month, am I doing this show? Choosing the right diet for you. Mysteries explored. It is a mystery, unfortunately. Worse yet, if you're sick, if you're symptomatic, if you have a disease, if you're really not thriving. If you don't know what it is to eat a piece of food without having some sort of bad pain in your body, well, then listen even more closely. And as always, get to the archives. That's straighttalk.cc, not .com. That's with 2 T's, straighttalk.cc. I'm going to see if I can actually perfect my voice by the end of the show, which is very counterintuitive, of course. I should get worse, not better. But I think I can do it. Okay, look at the pictures. Let's just create your worst nightmare. Picture number 1, the paleo diet. Picture number 4, the primal diet. Picture number 8, that's the Weston Price ketogenic diet, epitomized by the health of the Aborigines. Swinging to the other sphere, look at picture 10, Hippocrates Health Institute. Of course, you're not blowing these pictures up, right? I just want to create your worst nightmare by scanning them rapidly. Picture number 9 is Rio, hooked on raw. These are vegans. These are Ann Wigmorians. These are sprouters. Up there, picture 5, that's Agenis. He was a raw meat, raw chicken, raw fish, raw guy. The paleo diet, picture 1 and 2. That's cut out the grains, cut out the carbs. Just eat the meat, but cook the meat. Picture 6 there, that's Agenis again. He said, don't cook the meat, just eat the meat raw. Back to picture number 1. That's the paleo diet, Lauren Cordain. He has the PhD, so that means he knows more than bootleggers like Agenis. Yeah, don't believe that one, please. Credentials? Well, we have sort of snide jokes about credentials. Not that they're bad, but credentials don't guarantee it. But Lauren Cordain, he had a PhD, has a PhD, wrote the book The Paleo Diet, in direct contradiction of Agenis, who was a dairyman. Raw milk, raw cream, raw butter, super important, raw meat. Well, back to picture number 1, the paleo diet, Lauren Cordain. He's not into raw anything. Frankly, how anyone could tell you to cook your meat is beyond me. But I think he had to sort of satisfy mass consciousness. You can't tell mass consciousness that you got to do your meat rare. You lose 3/4 of the sales of your book. Well, maybe that's not why. Maybe it's because he doesn't want anyone to get salmonella or E. coli. Let's not judge it. Point is, again, you're going to get confused. Even when people are not vegetarian, even when people are avowed primalists, meat eaters, carnivores, Cro-Magnon, 40,000 BC, there's no farming. Throw a spear into it and eat it. Climb a tree and grab the piece of fruit. Even when we all agree on that, one guy wants dairy, and the other guy says you'll die from dairy, even if it's dairy from the Amish. Again, a confused public. Picture number 8, bringing you back to it. Those are Aborigines. I guess they're in their 40s. The guy with the white hair is probably in his 50s. I don't know. But those guys look like they're in shape to me. And it's not because they're going to Jack LaLanne. They're hunter-gatherers. And when Weston Price, the dentist, went from country to country looking at who had the best teeth, he found that the people with the best teeth had the best diet, and the people with the best diet had the best health. And he pushed this notion that a ketogenic diet, ketogenic, is the best, which is caveman, which is low blood sugar or blood sugar under 100, which is basically what paleo, primal, Weston Price, and anything with the word caveman in it is saying. So Dr. Perlmutter, well-known neurologist, writes a book called Grain Brain. And that's new. And since he gets on Dr. Oz, it seems it's new. It's not new. It's as old as the sun and the moon. The notion that eating a grain-free diet did something good for your health is very, very old. And different people have been proponents of it with disagreement within their camp. And there's John Q. Public trying to figure out what to do. Don't worry, I have a solution for you. I have a simple solution. It's simple and it's not simple. It's typical of me. It's simple, but deep. Can you get deep? Do you have consciousness? Do you have enough consciousness to go above and beyond the cookbook formula? The tension comes from a perspective in dietary choices. From people who are looking for cookbook formulas. There are no cookbook formulas. And we all know everyone's different. And that's the new age. Everyone's different. We'll get to that. The everyone's different diet. Paleo's not for everyone's different diet. Veganism, vegetarianism, fruitarianism don't come from theologies that say everyone's different. They say everyone's the same. But America's catching up. And America knows that everyone's different. So we have other diets, we're going to get to them, that says everyone's different. I have even better solutions, but they're deeper solutions. So low consciousness is pick a cult. It's the raw food cult. It's the cooked food cult. It's the fruitarian cult. It's the vegetarian cult. It's the primal diet cult. It's the paleo cult. People like to get together in little groups and create the way. We make that mistake with religion all the time, right? We do it with food. I assure you that is a big mistake. I assure you from clinical experience, I'm the guy in the trenches with different types of sick people trying to figure out how to help them dig themselves out of a hole. And I mean a hole. Like the hole you're going to die in if you don't figure out how to get out of it. So I'm going to argue and justify. Well, I think Bruce Lee said it best. come on down with me to the bottom of the page if you can get there. All the way down to picture number 46. Here's one of my heroes, Bruce Lee. I'm sure he's one of your heroes. Absorb what is useful. Reject what is useless. Add what is specifically your own. Absorb what's useful. Reject what's useless. Add what is specifically your own. I think that's a trendy kind of thing today. So let's all clap, because we all agree. Absorb what's useful. Here's where it's deep. It's deep because you can't do that yet. You don't know how to absorb what's useful, because you're not good enough at listening to your body. And that's not a criticism. Bruce Lee studied everything. Bruce Lee started out in Hong Kong, where you can be a very rich kid. I have a good buddy of mine that's from Hong Kong. And he went to school at the millionaire schools. I'm talking the millionaire, billionaire schools. Half of his class was billionaires in Hong Kong. His parents had made a ton of money, and he went to the best schools in the world. So this buddy of mine went to school in Hong Kong, and his classmates were all very, very wealthy. Bruce Lee came from an upper middle class Chinese family in Hong Kong. And I could never understand why stories of Bruce Lee as a kid were filled with knife fights and murders and dangerous things. And I would listen to it and say, well, his father was a well-known comedic opera star, and he had money and all these things, and his son was out there getting into knife fights and studying the martial arts. And I could never understand it. Well, my buddy kind of clarified it, because in Hong Kong, that's the way it is. You can be super rich in a super expensive school, and yet every day you can get beat up by thugs. And that's the way it was in Hong Kong as of 20 years ago. I don't know if it's presently, but 20 years ago. So Bruce Lee was this guy who studied Wing Chun with the Yip Man, and he mastered it. And then he came to Seattle, as the story goes, to get himself out of trouble. His parents sent him there because he was going to get killed if he stayed in Hong Kong. He went to Seattle, and he didn't stop fighting. He began fighting more. Only he got exposed to everybody else. Everybody else was boxing and punching him in the shins with tomahawks. So you had this American eclectic view of pick up a chair and break it over your head fighting, and barroom fighting, and tomahawk fighting, and I don't need to fight, I'll shoot you in the head fighting, and all these American things, because we're very violent. And he said to himself, well, I'm Bruce Lee, and I'm fantastic, but I got to learn. And what he started to do is he started to study other martial arts, and he studied other martial arts, and he studied other martial arts. And his philosophy in Kung Fu taught him, as he applied it, as he evolved it, because he would have died otherwise. He wouldn't have been Bruce Lee. He wouldn't have been a great martial artist. And in that wonderful Chinese and then American tradition, he learned from everybody, and Bruce Lee absorbed what's useful. That is what you have to do. Do not stay stuck in dogma. If you're having trouble with your digestive practice, and again, I can't overstate this, because I meet so many people. I'm talking about people that get sick, sick, and sick. I'm not talking about people that just live with bloating and gas. I'm talking about people that get so deficient in these so-called wonderful digestives, or so toxic, or so just gooey ooey from eating too much raw fat and meat, or too many sprouts, or too much wheatgrass juice. I'm talking about people that get really sick, cancer sick. And it's because we don't absorb what's useful. Now, if that sounds good to you, you just paid for your price of tuition. That wisdom is worth all the tea in China. If you're a vegetarian, if you're a vegan, if you've got a certain way, and your body's giving you signals that are telling you this is not the way, you have to listen to that. Yeah, I got it, Doc. I got it. I know. Yeah, that makes sense. No, you're not doing it. And part of the reason is you don't know how to listen to your body. Food is an exercise. When you eat that food, and that food gets into your stomach, it needs to disappear in 30 minutes. And when you get a food like that, that's what you call a green light food, green. It means in the trenches, when you're in a rush, you can walk into a store and have a glass of juice, and it disappears in your stomach. It doesn't bloat you. It doesn't give you gas. It doesn't give you hemorrhoids. It doesn't give you heartburn. It doesn't give you diarrhea. It doesn't give you constipation. It just disappears, and you feel good. That's what I mean by the green light. So you sitting there listening to the show, even those of you listening to the show for the first time, what you got to do is listen to your body. So rule number one, if you're confused, drop the food into your belly and listen to your body. Meaning no bloating, no gas, no diarrhea, no constipation, no nothing. In fact, you drop it in, it disappears, and you feel good. And I know what you're doing. Some of you, at any rate, some of you are sitting there listening going, but I don't know. I don't know, because it may be days before that food interferes with me. I'm confused. And that's my point. You're not sensitized. You're not good enough at doing this. Here's a standard for you. Sniff the food. It'll give you the answer. Look at the food. It'll give you your answer. You know, I kind of like this voice of mine. I think I might try to promote this voice. It slows me down. I want to slow you down. Oh, by the way, tidbit, chew your food. Chew your food. Chew it. Chew it, chew it. At lunch, with your friends, in the work break, you go out and you gossip. And while you're gossiping and getting most of the words in, you're throwing down your food in chunks. Why are we worried about diets when we haven't even chewed our food? Chew your food. That food goes in, it goes down, that food disappears. You feel good. You can't do that. You're not refined enough yet to listen to your body. And you have to then start where it's easy. You make a list. You get a notebook. Get a notebook. Three different pages. Green light, yellow light, red light. Green light is what you're certain goes into your belly. You eat it and it disappears. Yellow light, you're not sure. And red light, you're sure it makes you sick. That's where you start. You see? Cured. You're better now. If you can do that, you're better. Forget all these different diets. You see how simple it is? I'm not being tongue-in-cheek. I am being literal. Literal. I'm being extremely literal. So what's all the baloney about then? Okay, let's say it in a different way. Okay, let's say it in a different way. Let's say you're not sure about the food because you can't feel it yet. You're going to get there. You're going to do what Smokey Santillo says. That's picture 20. Go to picture 21. There's picture 21 that Smokey Santillo, intuitive eating. There's a guy that's been in the trenches with sick people. And he wrote that book a while ago. Intuitive eating. It means listen to your body and don't worry about it. Forget about it. Don't worry about it. Listen to your body like an animal. You know who listens to her body better than anybody? Your wife when she's pregnant. You know pregnant women. Yes, I want strawberries. 5 minutes later, no, I don't want strawberries. Yes, I want pickles. 5 minutes later, no, I don't want pickles. 1 minute, I love your perfume. The next minute is your perfume makes me nauseous, and so do you. Pregnant women, for the sake of the developing embryo, are more sensitized to what's good for them and their baby than at any other time in their life. And we in America say women are fickle when they're pregnant. No, that's our natural state. You know who eats like that all the time? Animals. Children do. Animals. Until they get imprinted garbage. Animals know the difference between good food and genetically engineered food. Animals know the difference between cooked food and raw food. But we can corrupt an animal. We can starve an animal. And then we can feed it feces and it'll eat it. Better than nothing. But really, in the ideal of it out there in the jungle, animals walk into the room, take a sniff, and they know what to do. Here's a statement I'll make to you, and I'll go on record. I take somebody eating at McDonald's every single day that can listen to their body over somebody who is the most diligent, refined food eater, meaning the most diligent person with their food that can't listen to their body. You want to know why more people have problems with their digestion? They can't listen to their body. You know what? Most of those people go into nutrition. Wow, I'm not supposed to say that. But I'll tell you right now, you know how it is. Crazy people become psychologists. Why? Well, they're interested in their craziness. People who have lousy digestions become nutritionists. Why? Well, it's the story of their life, and everybody likes to solve their problem, their personal problem, write a book, or give everybody else the same advice, and it doesn't work that way, but certainly the motivation is beautiful and justifiable, right? But you see, that's kind of what's interesting. Many of the people out there that talk about this book and that book and this way of eating were those people that didn't get up in the morning, go out, play football at the end, stuff down 5 cheeseburgers, burp, and say, I feel great. They were the people that went out and did that and got sick. And a lot of those people, not all of those people, had another problem. They couldn't listen to their body. Their nervous systems were flipped upside down. Much of the to-do, much of the chatter-chatter about what diet should I eat has to do with people whose nervous systems are flipped upside down. For every person that really, from the standpoint of their genetics, shouldn't be eating a certain way, there's 100 people who could eat anything they want, except their nervous systems were upside down. Don't ever think about the issue of which diet works for me without looking at your autonomic nervous system, your enteric nervous system. All right, let's keep going. Where do we want to go? All right, let's go back to it. Picture number 1, the paleo diet. Picture number 4, the primal diet. Raw meat, raw cheese, raw eggs, raw butter, raw cream. Paleo's like that, except it's not. You got to cook your meat and no dairy. Picture number 9 and 10 and 11 and 12. There's Bryant Clement of the Hippocrates Institute. Very charismatic man. Incredible speaker. He's down there in Florida. He ain't eating any meat. You're not going out for a cheeseburger with that guy. I promise you that. And he'll tell you if you do, you're going to die young. Well, you kind of got to tell that to the guys on picture number 8. But then again, there's the China study. I love when people quote the China study. Well, Dr. Medici, have you heard about the China study? You know, the China study basically said, eat that pig slop, that feedlot pig slop on Highway 5 where all those steers are going to meet a horrid death, where the stink is so bad you want to vomit. You don't even take 5, you take PCH, just so you don't have to pass those smelly feedlots. People that eat like that, says the China study, die young. Of course they do. They're eating pig slop. This isn't about feedlot Ralph's, Lucky's, Von's meat. This is about the issue between organic, grass-fed, healthy New Zealand lamb or beef, the good stuff, versus the vegetarian stuff. Which way do you go? Well, if you talk to Clement, if you go to picture 13, that's Gabriel Cousins. If you go to picture 16, that's David Wolf. If you go to picture 14, that's Ann Wigmore. If you go to picture 15, that's a Wigmorean. What's his name? Vita Kolvasthikis. I'm sorry, I get his name wrong. And I'm not criticizing anybody. But it is kind of stupid that nobody can get their act straight on food in this country. Because we can't wrap ourselves around everybody's different. So what is Brian Clement and David Wolf and Ann Wigmore and Rio and Agnes and Lauren Cordain? There's Lauren Cordain with the paleo thing, right, caveman? And then there's a guy McDougal. I didn't put Dr. McDougal on. Notorious spokesman for you should be eating rice and beans and meat will kill you. And look, it's 2016. How do different people come up with different conclusions looking at the same data? Well, they all claim the other person doesn't interpret the data correctly. I think I have a nice solution. Everybody's right and everybody's wrong. And you know that already. Some of you do. I wouldn't do the show if most of you do. Most of you don't. Well, where does that leave us then? Well, it leaves us looking at older systems of medicine, older systems of medicine. The Chinese and the Ayurvedics. It's the Chinese from China and the Indians from East India, Bangalore, Delhi, old Calcutta. Those systems said everybody's different. Well, picture 19, eat right for your blood type. So did Peter Diadamo. He said everybody's different. Oh, Medici, you're into that blood type stuff. Okay, yeah, just get the book and do what it says. See, that's my point. That's why I lost hair over the years. Too much of that. The minute you say to somebody, absorb what's useful from the blood type diet, absorb what's useful from the Chinese, absorb what's useful for the Indians, absorb what's useful from David Wolf, absorb what's useful from Gabriel Cousins, from Ann Wigmore, from Agnes von der Planitz, from Lauren Cordain. The minute you say absorb what's useful and listen to your body, whoop, goes right over your head. Come on. I mean, why are we Republican or Democrat? Really? What, the Republicans don't have a point? Socialism isn't the enemy of the state. Political campaigns that make people think the government's going to take care of all your woes and these bad, terrible, rich people, we got to do something about them. That's not warped. At the same time, remember Enron? Right during the Bush administration, those pilfering low-life thieves, and this whole collapse in 2009 that was understood long before. The banks saw that coming. The wealthy consolidated their wealth. Both sides stink, but both sides are beautiful. You're either a Republican, conservative, or a Democrat. And this is the point. It's human nature The problem with digestion is human nature. Because human nature wants to be one way or the other. And that's not life. And you know that. So you have to do what Bruce Lee said. You have to absorb what's useful. But you see, that's a deeper concept. And I got to tell you something. The masses don't have the depth to understand that. The minute it's the masses, the minute you're talking about mass consciousness, you've got to go cookie cutter. If you want to reach the most number of people, you've got to go cookie cutter. If you have a friend that's mass consciousness, don't refer them to the show. Don't waste their time. If you have a friend that has a more profound essence, that knows how to analyze, that's a high information voter. This show is for your high information voter. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. I want high information voters. And if you're a low information voter and you want to be a high information voter, come on board. Actually, you know why I like having this throat thing? It's like an actor. I'm not really me now. I'm in disguise. And that gives me even more freedom. Fascinating. Radio's fascinating. Radio will never die. There was a thought 10 years ago with all the internet stuff and TV that radio would die. Radio will never die. There's something wonderful about just listening to a voice. It sharpens your senses. The ears can tell you things that the eyes can't. It's tougher, but it's brilliant. Back to the point. The point is, the Chinese and the Vedics have more refined systems. Eat Right for Your Blood Type was a Western version of Everyone's Different. Now the Chinese, wow. Look at picture 22. Picture 22. That's Henry Liu. Get your hands on this book. Henry Liu, Chinese System of Food Cures. Incredible book. Incredible book. I can't get into how the Chinese will teach you to eat. But when they say lamb is for the genitals and beef is for your muscles and chicken is for your spleen and pancreas. When they say oysters are for your sex drive, they're not kidding. Each food to Chinese and Vedic medicine, meaning Indian medicine, do different things at different times in different ways. And you can feel each food working differently in your body if you're sensitized, which is why I want you to catch this, which is why there's no such thing as health in Chinese and Ayurvedic medicine unless you're opening your meridians, Tai Chi, Qigong, Kung Fu, and all the limbs of yoga. Unless you're pranic, unless you're electromagnetic, unless you've done something to begin to get yourself more flexible, unless you've done something to begin to get yourself more in tune, those systems don't even work. And they tell you that in the beginning. You just can't talk about digestion without talking about Kung Fu. You can't talk about adequate digestion without talking about Tai Chi. You can't talk about adequate digestion without talking about yoga. Think of that. A system of medicine that's going to tell you while you're looking for the right nutritional guideline to stop your bloating and your IBS and your leaky gut and your heartburn and the fact that you're starving to death on whatever food you're eating, or you're fat, greasy, and bloated on whatever food you're eating. The Chinese and the Indians are sitting there going, hey, twiddly D and twiddly dumb, please take a look at this. If you're not out there on the Tai Chi floor or the yoga floor or the Kung Fu floor or the stretch your tendons floor, you're not going to be able to evolve a sensitivity in your body to the foods as they affect you, specifically to you, evolving dynamically in everlasting flux, depending on season, age, time of day, combination of food, and quality of food. Wow. Okay, sit down and have a martini. Truly. Do you follow? Do you follow what I'm saying? I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health, straighttalk.cc. This show rocks. Nothing wrong with saying it. It rocks because it's integrating. It's asking you in your confusion, in your depression, in your pessimism, in your frustration, in whatever state of affairs you're in, to integrate. But integration is an art. This show tries to turn the word integration into a functional lifestyle. Case in point, if all your tendons are tied and your guts are twisted and you're sympathetic dominant and you're trying to find out how to eat your food and what diet to use because you bloat, you have gas, you got constipation, you got diarrhea, you got IBS, you got every single problem under the digestive sun, and you're really confused because everyone you pay money to tells you to do something different because it worked for them, and you're not involved in yoga, tai chi, qigong, kung fu. If you're not really involved correctly, you can't really talk about digestion. That's what I mean by integration. No, that doesn't mean you have to do everything. Yeah, I know what integration means. Just do everything. Because you have that much time, right? Because you don't have to work. Because you don't have kids. Because you're not saving for retirement and working an extra job. Because you have all this energy, time, and money to sit around all day, listen to radio shows, read books, and cook for yourself. No, integration is not do everything. Integration is get educated enough so you can start to prioritize your experience. So there's Chinese. There's Vata Pitta Kapha, page 20, picture 25. The Vata diet, the Pitta diet, the Kapha diet. Which means you have to find out if you're Vata, Pitta, Kapha, or a blend. And then you have to mix it up. And then you have to read a book. And then you have to do those things. When all the time, if you blow it, when you blow it, your body's going to tell you, boo-boo, okay, I don't care what you do. Ann Wigmore, Agenis, Lauren Cardine, David Wolf, Vata Pitta Kapha, the Chinese way, the ketogenic way, put the food in your mouth. Do it in the middle of the day. Eat the food by itself. Drop it in. And when you have a food that disappears, or relatively speaking, disappears, start there. Enjoy the feeling. And make a list. Green light, yellow light, red light. Then get the essence of everything. Take in the essence of everything and apply it to what I just said. All right, so I hope you don't have a headache. I hope you like this as much as me. Woe to the person that was looking for a cookbook answer. Okay, let's apply it. Paleo. What is Lauren Cardine saying that no one should argue with? That if you cut out grains because you can't digest them because of all the little poisons in grains that make it difficult to digest, cut them out. Lauren Cardine is saying, this is number one, paleo and the like. Paleo, ketogenic, Agenis. If you're eating grains and your blood sugar goes too high, over 100, if 1 hour after you eat your food, your blood sugar is over 100, that means high blood sugar, that means high insulin. That's bad. Nobody can argue with that. So there is an essence to the notion of two things. One, grains don't digest well for a lot of people because a lot of people don't digest fiber. I remember sitting down to a wonderful meal of oat groats. Yes, I did soak the oat groats, if you're interested. Yes, I did cook them well. I'm telling you, I almost went to ER. Oat groats. When I start looking like a cow, I'll think about it the second time. I don't touch oat groats. I don't touch oatmeal. I don't touch corn. I don't touch most grains. I don't digest it well. If you look at my blood sugar after I eat that grain, it's spiked too high. It's telling me with the blood sugar. It's telling me by the way I feel. It doesn't work for me. Now, if it works for you and you digest it well and it disappears in your stomach and you feel good, no gas, no bloating, no diarrhea, and you could put it into a green light food and your blood sugar doesn't spike, think about grains. Maybe McDougal is right. Maybe Gabriel Cousins is right. Maybe Bryant Clement is right. But paleo's essential point is watch the blood sugar. The ketogenic people, Ogenes, paleo, Perlmutter's grain brain, is that the high blood sugar insulin spike creates too much N-chain glycation products, too much oxidative stress, especially if you're O blood, O as an ox, O blood. There's an essence out of paleo. Now, paleo said no dairy. Because when Cardain studied dairy, he found that all the garbage that the cows eat, grass-fed included, ends up in the fat of the milk. All the toxic estrogens. Toxic estrogens are dangerous, so Cardain said, get rid of it. Ogenes said, if you need fat, fat as a solvent, fat to give you strength, power, fat to put on your cachexic, skinny, anorexic, sick body, fat to grow on your puny frame, your deficient frame, fat to grow to your body so you can absorb the poisons that are getting sucked out of the bone marrow and the brain as you put that fat on, then fat would save your life. And dairy fat, especially if you're a northerner, Scandinavia, Norway, Finland, Germany, Scotland. Come on, what are we talking about? People that have cultivated dairy for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And Lauren Cardain comes on the show and says, no more dairy for you people. And you people are sick. You people are dying. You people are skin and bone. You people have been vegetarian so long, you don't know what time it is. When the wind blows, you fall down. Your hands are cold. Your feet are cold. You're grossly anemic. You're deathly sick. All the toxins, mercury, lead, strontium 90, cadmium, it's all destroying your bone marrow and your brain. And Lauren Cardain comes along and says, don't eat dairy. See, Ogenes, my dear Ogenes, picture six, he saved lives with dairy. He'll turn over in his grave listening to this guy from paleo. But the guy from paleo's got a point. Toxic fat in toxic dairy. Stay away. You want breast cancer? Drink toxic dairy. Eat toxic dairy. And if you think it's not toxic, Claravel Organic Pastures, make sure you don't make a mistake. Even if they milk a pregnant cow because they got to get their yield out, that pregnant cow is dumping all its hormone in. The Amish take the pregnant cow out of the group. They don't want to burden a pregnant mom because she'll have a weak animal. But I don't know if Claravel does that. I don't know if Organic Pastures does that. I don't know if where you get your dairy does that. So Lauren Cardain has a point. You see what I'm talking about? Once again, I may have to do a part two. There's an essence to paleo that's intelligent. There's an essence to Ogenes that's intelligent. Now, suppose you were the captain of the football team suppose you're 40 years old, you're 50. You're strong, you're big, you're muscular. But like a lot of retired athletes or guys and women who are just strong, you put on that 30, 40, 50, 60, 80 pounds. And let's just say you never digested meat that well anyway, but your macho and your weightlifting career and those big muscles that you want to keep told you in the great American tradition that's fostered democracy all over the world, as it has, that today stands as the greatest nation in the world. Amen. You like meat. And you're from Kansas. No, you're from Texas. Because we like our meat raw in Texas. You go to Texas and you say, well done. They call you a sissy. You go to Texas and say, I want it blue. You can get anything raw in Texas. Great state. Successful state. Independent state. Love that state. Not dumb rednecks, but smart Texans know the value of good meat and rare. Now, suppose that's you. But suppose you just never digested it well because you never listened to your body. And now you put on 100 pounds. You're 50 or 60 years old. You're packing another 80 pounds. And you listen to David Wolf talk about avocado. Or Gabriel Cousins talk about a green drink. Or Bryant Clement talk about sprouts. Or Ann Wigmore talk about sprouting. Or if you want a great book on all of this, I mean a great book, Rio, Hooked on Raw. She's such a doll. Forwarded by Harvey Diamond. Look at picture number 9. Harvey Diamond, that was Fit for Life. Harvey and Marilyn Diamond, remember back in the 80s? He got himself sick, Harvey Diamond. I'll tell you, it may well have been because of his diet. I don't want to be critical. You know, Nick Gonzalez, we lost him 3 months ago. He did all the right stuff. There's reasons that happened, and they weren't conspiratorial. But I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Nobody's perfect. But Harvey and Marilyn Diamond, they were the natural hygienists. Fruit in the morning, vegetables and grains. Rio wrote this book, Hooked on Raw. It's a great book. Here was my point. If you're that meat eater from Texas that gained 100 pounds, or Kansas, or wherever, or New York, or L.A., and you got that extra 80 pounds, but you're still strong, but you just feel like garbage. And you go to the Optimal Health Institute. You go to the Hippocrates Institute. You go to these new age, not new age, these give me sprouts, give me green, give me wheatgrass enemas, give me wheatgrass juice. Get rid of everything. Eggs, cheese, meat, chicken, fish. Get rid of it. You know what? For you to reduce your excess, okay, here's the clinical pearl. For people who are strong in the testes, strong in the adrenals, strong in the ovaries, for people who have power, who are not sick, who are not sitting there on the kitchen floor going, I don't know if I can get up today to wash the dishes. You're 50 or 60 and you've got extra blubber and you don't feel good. You got 50 symptoms from what we call, now here's the concept, excess. Excess grease, excess fat, excess animal protein, crystal in the kidneys, crystals in the gallbladder, crystals in the brain. Call up Gabriel Cousins. Call up Ann Wigmore. Call up Brian Clement. Call up Rio. Call up McDougal. Because your excess. Chinese say, you there, you big fat man. Too much grease. Too much fried foods. Too much advanced end-chain glycation products. Just too much inflammatory muck. But you big strong man. fast it out, green it out, chlorella it out, spirulina it out. Look at picture 16. David Avocado Wolf, superfoods, superfood it out. And get rid of your excess. I've seen people like that decide to go paleo. I've seen people like that decide to do the Ogenist thing with all the dairy. I've had people, I remember years ago, people like that. Big, strong football guy, 60 pounds later, 50 years old, goes to Ogenist. And Ogenist would give him butter and cream and dairy and meat. And this, and in 2 weeks, the guy would be vomiting profusely. And an Ogenist would say, oh, you're detoxing. Don't worry about it. It's just toxins. No, it's not toxins. You're adding more grease to the grease you have. These people would go off to the Optimal Health Institute and in 6 weeks change their life. They'd go make best friends with Brian Clement and save their life. Now, what about you if you are underweight? What about you if everything you eat bloats you? I've met people from the Hippocrates Institute, from the Ann Wigmore camp, from the Gabriel Cousins camp, from the David Wolf camp, who are sick, sick, and sicker. And they stay on those diets adamantly. They have no skin and bone. Come on, you know this. You know this. Go to your local vegan place and sit there and look at everybody. Just do that. And look at how many of those people are not vibrant. Vibrant. How many of those people are not vibrant? That's what I'm talking about. That's what the Vedics are talking about. That's what the Chinese are talking about. They're deficient. And if you're deficient, if you're supposed to be 150 pounds and you're 120, if you're supposed to be 180 and you're 120, if you're on all this vegetarian fare because it's clean and it's healthy and meat has toxins and meat has parasites and meat has metals and meat has all these things and meat is disgusting. Killing animals, disgusting. And you can't stand up. You know who's on their way to that? When you go into those vegan places and you look at those people and you just get the sense they're 20, 25, and it looks like the wind could blow them over. Not all of them. Not all of them. Some of them are at that phase where that is what they're supposed to do. That's that big, strong, pussy football guy that took off 70 pounds eating wheat, drinking wheatgrass juice three times a day. That guy isn't going to look like that. He's going to look good. So when you go into those places, you're going to look at vibrant ones who hit it right, but ones that start to look pale, listless, sick. You ever notice how long you wait online in those places? Everybody's taking their time. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, the difference. You don't have a job. You can wait all day for that glass of wheatgrass juice. Only pretentious, yuppie, corporate industrialist meat eaters are in a hurry. If you're a vegan, well, you don't really have a job anyway. And you got all day. Okay, I'm being nasty. Sorry. But you get the point. Some people are eating themselves to death on meat, and some people are starving themselves to death on wheatgrass juice. And what both those groups didn't do is absorb what's useful. And what both those groups didn't do is get on the other side of dogma and simply listen to their body. Okay. Now, maybe I'll do part two next week. I wanted to talk about digestion, so maybe I'll just speed up my voice, and then we don't have to do part two next week. HCl from the stomach, bile from the gallbladder, enzyme from the pancreas. Swish it around in your duodenum, and voila, all the food disappears. When you're 20, that's possible. When you're 60, that's impossible. The gallbladder is clogged. The pancreas has no more enzymes, and your HCL is low. So take all those things. Flush the gallbladder, take pancreatic enzymes, take HCL, and keep eating pig slop. No. Use the digestive enzymes because they help, but change and learn how to eat intuitively. Clean those systems. Even if you do that, here's the problem. The problem is the enteric nervous system, page 43. Picture 43. The brain in your gut. If you clench your teeth, if you're sympathetic dominant, if you're not flexible, the brain in your gut becomes brainless. And you can't feel your foods. You cannot feel your foods. And if you can't feel your foods, you can't evolve a functional philosophy about absorbing what's useful. And then you won't know whether you need to eat right for your blood type, whether you need to eat to your dosha, whether you need to be a Wigmorian, whether you need to be a caveman, whether you need to take dairy, whether you need to fast, whether you need to do the GAPS diet, whether you need to do the ketogenic diet. You won't know because the enteric nervous system ain't developed enough. There's a brain in your gut. Let me know if I should do part two. I've done these digestion shows so many times, but it seems like we still need the help. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. If you need somebody to piece it together, solve the mystery of you, or at least help you, set you in the right direction. 714-850-1007. I'll see if I can keep my voice like this for next week. God bless you.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.